open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 4. We've been really looking at some places in the Bible where that people stood in awe of God's goodness. But tonight, I guess it's a picture of a man that stood in awe, for lack of a better way to put it, when the bottom fell out of everything. It's one thing to worship God on the mountain when everything's going well. It's quite another to worship God in the valley. And we're going to be looking at a man tonight that did just that. The Word of God said in verse number 1 of chapter Psalm 4, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer, O you sons of men. How long will you turn my glory into shame? And how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing or falsehoods or deceit, lying?" That's what that's talking about, Selah. "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." And then the Bible said to stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. I've had several people tell me that the Lord's helping them in these days with this text. And that's a wonderful thing. As a pastor, I pretty well know when God puts something on my heart that it's going to help me. And it's always our prayer that it'll help somebody else along the way. Turn back with me to the book of Job. Job chapter number 1, please. Job chapter number 1. Let's have a word of prayer together, and we're going to look at the message tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for those, our Father, that labor, go out on the job week after week, Lord, and they bring in their mission offering, their tithes and offerings. And Lord, we just praise you for what you've done. Most of all, Lord, for the souls that have been saved by the grace of God, for the seed that's still being planted around the world. As a result, our Father, of your people's obedience. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'd give us wisdom in the message and help us, Lord, that we might, our Father, be sensitive to He, the Holy Spirit. God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want tonight, I usually don't do this, but I want to give you the outline and then try to preach the message that God's put on my heart tonight. We're going to look at four things tonight, and I think that it will help us with this man Job to stand in awe. The first thing I want us to notice in the message tonight is the warfare that's going on. The second thing I want us to notice is the woe, or the trials that are going on. And then I want you to notice the worshiper. And then I want you to notice the winner in the book of Job. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east." That's 2 men we've encountered in a week now, Abraham and Job, that were very, very rich. God had blessed them abundantly. "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And the Word of God said this, thus did Job continually. Job wasn't one of those fellas that was in and out and up and down. There was a consistency in his life. The Word of God said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I don't know that anyone knows for sure, but most people think that the sons of God that's spoken of there is talking about the angels of God. And Satan comes among them. Also, the Word of God said, among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now I want you to look at this. The Word of God said, there is none like him. Can you stand in awe right there for just a minute? What if, Brother Steve, the Lord said that about you? There's none like him in all the earth. Job was serious. I believe Job was spirit-filled. I believe Job had a heart for God. I believe he had a heart for his family. Job wanted to get it right. I don't believe Job's riches and wealth came between him and God. The Bible said he was upright, perfect, one that feared God and eschewed evil. I want to just stop and say something tonight, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I don't know about you, but I'd rather not have a whole lot if it was going to come between me and my Lord. I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is God knows who can handle it, and God knows who it will handle them. The material things were not handling Abraham. Abraham handled the material things. I've said for years, there's a difference between having things and things having you. And I believe it's all right according to the Word of God. God said there's none like him. I want you to see the warfare that's going on here. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Is his life in vain, in other words? Is this just a joke? Why does he fear God? He said, hast not thou put a hedge about him and about his house? I think this is the passage of Scripture where we've been taught down through the years to try to pray a hedge around our family. Now, I want to say this. We ought to try to pray a hedge around our church. There's an enemy that wants to come in. He wants to come into your home. He wants to come into my home. He wants to come into our church. He's already come in many places, and he's trying his best to get in. There's an enemy. There's a warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That'd be a lot easier to handle. But against wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places, the Word of God said. He said, hast thou not put a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. Even the devil knew that Job couldn't have done it without God. I tell you what, men in this world that are so full of pride, they think they can do it without God. I ought to read that. The Bible said, in him we live and move and have our being. We can't do anything without him. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath. Job is saying, Satan is saying to God of Job, you tear that hedge down. You start touching those things that he has. You start touching his finances. You start touching his family. And he'll curse you to your face. There's a warfare going on. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Shoo we. Think about that. I'm going to tell you something. God knew something about Job, but Job didn't even know yet. Say amen. You don't know what kind of faith you have until it's tried. I promise you that. We as God's people, we don't know what kind of friendship we have with one another until it's tried. But when it's tried and it stands the test, it's like gold. It's precious. It's real. The Word of God said here, put forth thine hand, touch all that he hath. He'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. How many believes he was real happy when he went forth? God's going to tear the heads down. And I've already got some plans in the making. I want you to see, beloved, that there is a warfare going on. The same devil that hated Job hates you. And he hates me. The same devil that hated Job's children hates your children. And he hates my children. Olivia scared me a while ago. She came to the top step over here and went like this. No, honey, that's not the way little girls are supposed to come down out of the choir. Amen. I thought she saw it as an opportunity to be a gymnast. I had that with a young lady in the baptistry one time. She was only about 9 or 10 years old. And when I went to lay her back, she helped me. I mean, she went, whoo! And in that baptistry there was a spigot, Sister Helen, in the end of the baptistry. It only had steps on one side. There was a spigot on the other side. And her head, I'm telling you, she cracked it on that spigot. I knew there'd be blood going everywhere. She didn't even have a dent. But it sure did bother me. I learned something, Brother Houston. From then on, buddy, they faced the spigot when they went down. If you're going to spring, you're going to spring back towards the steps. You're not going to spring into the spigot. Satan is going to try his best to destroy. What did he come for? What's the thief do? He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Is that not right? Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So I notice the warfare. Notice the warfare also in... I'm trying to take it in the order God gave it to me. And also in chapter 2, there was a day, and we're going to back up into chapter 1, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. He's back for another trip. You remember when Jesus was taken, he was led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. You remember, or after that he fasted for 40 days, he was led of the Spirit up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And you remember after all three, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Jesus said, the answer is the Word of God. And the Bible said, then the devil leaveth him. What was the next three words? For a season. In other words, right here in the book of Job, beloved, there's a warfare in chapter number 1. We're going to look at the woes in just a minute in chapter number 1. But then the warfare's not over. He's coming right back again. Because in chapter 2 and verse number 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And by the way, let me just tell you this. God already knew where he had been. When he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden, where art thou? You better believe God already knew where Adam was. And Satan said, answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Oh my goodness. You know what hadn't changed? That there's none like him in the earth. Now you think about that when we look at the woes in just a minute. It still hadn't changed, Brother Steve. There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. Boy, don't you think a devil would like to see us curse God to his face? The word of God said, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, oh devil, there he is, but you can't kill him. You can't kill him. I see a warfare. I hope we never, never forget that there's a warfare going on in this world. I thank the Lord. Last week I had the privilege, just through text message, to speak with Brother Jody Jenkins. That man knows something about the warfare that's going on in this world. He's God's man. I'll never doubt that. Amen. But he's been through a deep, deep, dark valley. But God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But God. I hope you'll get to hear him preach soon. I'd love to have him come. We notice the warfare. Secondly, I want you to notice the woe. Look at what's going on here. After the first time around, in chapter number 1, in verse number 13 through verse number 19, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Look at these words while he was yet speaking. Have you ever heard the saying, when it rains, it pours? Beloved, I've never, never, ever read anything that would compare to what I'm fixing to read. The Word of God said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Look at verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I'm going to tell you, it's bad enough, but it's fixing to get worse. There are times, beloved, when you and I think it cannot get any worse, and it'll get worse. The Bible said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose. You say, preacher, I'm trying to get you to see, beloved, in just a few moments of time, Job's world was turned upside down. Brother David, tonight I stand in awe when I examine this scripture. I stand in awe that God would allow this in this man's life, that feared him, that eschewed evil, that was perfect. There's none like him in the earth. Let me just say this to you tonight. I'm thinking right now, I wouldn't dare say the family, but I'm thinking of a family where things went wrong in the children's lives and they quit. The children are still living, but they quit. And I want you to know this tonight. God's a good God. And we're going to see after a while, beloved, listen to me tonight, that God hasn't forgotten Job. Job loves God and God loves Job. But there's a warfare. There's a woe. I want you to see for just a moment tonight the worshiper. Look what the Word of God said. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. That's what the Word of God said. If ever there was a time in our life when we need to stand in awe of the God of heaven and worship Him, it's when the bottom falls out of everything down here. Because while everything here is not constant, is not stable, thank God He is constant. He never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Here's what Job said. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He said, the Lord gave. I'm thinking of a family right now. I'm thinking of two families right now. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. And yet Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. There are a lot of people in the world today that name the name of Christ. Listen to me. They couldn't even get past if God took their car away, let alone their child. Amen. Job, he knows what it is to be blessed of God. It's so evident to me. Listen to me carefully. That Job was not consumed with the blessing, Brother Rose. He was consumed with the blesser. He was consumed with the one that was pouring it out in his life. And so when the day came, the blessing's gone. The blesser's still right there where he always was. Brother Brian has stood in this pulpit. He told us about, I believe he told us his mom. Brother John, if you can remember, nod your head at me, but I believe he told us that his mom taught him that, son, your health is your wealth. I believe it was his mom that taught him that. I'll never forget that statement. She said, your health is your wealth. Now, I'm not contradicting mom, but I'm going to say this tonight. If God's worthy of honor and praise when pastor's got his health, God's worthy of honor and praise when pastor don't have his health. Y'all believe that tonight? This man believed that. He's in a valley deeper than darker than I've ever even come close to walking through. But God is still with him, and he's worshiping. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch verse 22. In all this, Job, what's those next two words? Now wait a minute. We believe the Spirit of God wrote this book, don't we? So we believe it's accurate, right? Let me ask you something. God did not know just Job's external. He didn't just see Job fall down on his face and worship. Many times in the Bible when it uses the word worship, it's just talking about how they bow down. God saw Job's heart. And Brother Rose, the Word of God said, he did not sin. He sinned not. He didn't charge God foolishly with his mouth. Brother Rick, he didn't charge him foolishly in his heart either. Because God saw it all. Think about this tonight. A worshiper. Look at, if you will, at verse 9 and 10 in chapter number 2. You remember now that he's got the boils. He's dying. So Satan, in verse number 7, went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown or the top of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. I don't want to come across as being gross tonight. My dad was never covered in boils, but he had one. It was right about there on his back. My dad was a big man, a stout man. He worked on the farm. He worked in steel. He was a muscular man. And I watched my dad cry like a baby when he hit that boil as he went through a doorway. He hit that boil on a casing of the door. I've watched my mom work with that thing and try to doctor it and try to get the mess out of it. I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm telling you what, if you've ever seen or been around a boil, they're terrible. Dad finally had to go to the doctor and have it what they call lanced. It had to be cut open. And I won't explain to you what that was like. And finally, it began to get better. But if my dad were sitting here tonight, Brother Larry, and he would think in his mind, what would it be like to be covered with them? Yeah. Many of you have doctored loved ones that have developed bed sores. Not all over their body, but in different places on their body. And it can be so painful to where you can't rest. And here's Job. Covered. I believe that means he can't walk comfortably. They're down there on the bottom of his feet. He can't sit comfortably. He can't lay comfortably. And yet the Word of God is going to teach us that he continues to worship. Watch what the Bible said. In verse number 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Are you going to still hang in there with this God that you serve? She said, curse God and die. I'm going to tell you what. Men, would you just imagine for a moment your wife that you love and loves you looking over at you and saying, honey, just curse God, get out of this mess. Some people put her down, and it is possible. Listen to me. We've been around loved ones. Surely we've been around loved ones that were suffering to the point that we said, oh God, in your mercy, if they're not going to get better, just take them on out of this world. Right? So is it not at least possible that Job's wife saw him suffering to the extent that she wanted the warfare ended? Just declare Satan the winner. And curse God and die. Job, the Word of God said, he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? I wonder tonight if Job's wife is not standing in awe. I wonder tonight, Brother Kenny, if old Slewfoot himself is not standing in awe. If he's not thinking, well, I know when I get done with him this time, he'll curse God and die. He'll curse God to his face. Oh no, Job had something that went a lot deeper than the boils. He had something that went a lot deeper than a good family. He had something that went a lot deeper than fortune. He had faith in a good God. He was able to believe in his heart, Brother Isaac, that God makes no mistakes. A lot easier to say that when everything's going well. Now the bottom, the pain is constant. The pain is uncontrollable. But his heart is still right towards God. If you'll turn with me to chapter 42, we've looked at the warfare, we've looked at the woe, we've looked at the worshiper. By the way, I'm not going to get into this tonight, but part of Job's woe was his three friends. If this ever happens to me, Charity, send somebody besides Bob, would you? I'll kill him. Look at chapter 42 for just a moment and I'm done. Stand in awe and sin not. You say, preacher, do you think Job's glad? You think he's glad that he didn't cave in? Job answered the Lord, verse 1 of chapter 42, and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, excuse me, have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent in dust and ashes. If you drop down in the scripture here, you see that Job prays for his friends. And you see that God does something in the life of Job. The Word of God said in verse number 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Jesse, Maggie, pastor's going to promise you something. The latter end. When the Lord gets finished, I promise you that He'll bless the latter end of Brother Brian more than He did the beginning. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say for every believer, the best is yet to come. Every believer, though the valley might be deep and the valley might be dark and we don't understand sometimes, I promise you that when we come out on the other side, we're going to say, hey, God knew what He was doing. Because pastor sometimes has no idea what he's doing. And there'll be times when you don't know what he's doing. But there's never a time that he doesn't know what he's doing. The Word of God said here, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. If you go back and look at all these numbers, God doubles them. And 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and had 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and daughters. Somebody said one time, well, God didn't double his children. Yes, he did. This is a proof text, beloved, that there's a difference between a cow and a child. You say, preacher, how do you know God doubled his children? Because now he's got 10 on the earth and 10 in glory. That's still 20. And he's a winner. I wonder what Mrs. Job is thinking now. I wonder if there ever come a time when she looked at her husband and said, honey, I'm sorry. I should have never said that. I should have never told you to curse God and die. I wish I could have trusted God the way you trusted God. Amen. And the Word of God said he called the name of the first Jemima and the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third. You got it. Karen. You liked that, didn't you, Brother Steve? Amen. Sister Karen, you liked that, didn't you? Amen. We'll make that rest of that your middle name, Sister Karen, from here on out, okay? And in all the land were no women so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to close right here, and we're going to have a business meeting, ain't we? Watch this. I'm going to show you something. I didn't catch this till today. After this lived Job 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. Brother Ralph, 140 years would be a long time to be bitter, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Amen, Brother Ralph. Can you imagine, Brother Steve, had he not responded the way that he did, the bitterness that might have been in his heart? He might have been agreeing with old Slewfoot. It never, never happened. He's a winner. Job lived 140 years. He saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. Bob, I hope Sawyer never sees me a bitter man. I hope he never sees me so angry. Because the same God that loved me and gave himself for me takes something away from me that's precious. Whether it be my health or anything else. The Word of God said in verse 17, so Job died being old. Colson, are you back there? Me and your papaw ain't the only ones that's older than dirt. The Word of God said Job died being old and full of days. I believe tonight that a story like this ought to cause you and I to stand in awe. There'll be times that you might begin to believe the old devil's winning. But I want you to know something. I've already read the last chapter in the last book. Brother David, he don't win. He loses. We win. Let's live like winners. Walk like winners. Talk like winners. Praise Him when things are going good and we're on the mountain. Praise Him when we're in the valley. Because after all, the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. How many's glad you come tonight?
Amen.
Amen.